Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 163, all the verses. O Lord, my God, most earnestly, my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. Apart from thee I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. All the verses of 163. scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. John, there of the 20th chapter, the first 18 verses. But first, let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention John chapter 20, the first 18 verses. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he might rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Almighty, faithful Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, thou who hast created all things, and thou who upholds all things, and thee we live and move and have our being. And on this first day of the week, in thy mercy and in thy long-suffering patience, we may yet be in the time of grace in the land of the living, that we may again enter into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. On this first day of the week, on the day that we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, of him who came in the flesh, who humbled himself to come to dwell upon this sin-cursed earth, who humbled himself to come in the flesh, to fulfill the law for transgressors, of him who came to teach, to instruct, but also especially, as we have remembered in the past week, that he gave his body as a sacrifice to satisfy the infinite justice of an almighty holy God. And Lord, then on this day, we may also remember that he arose again. O Lord, wilt thou then richly bless thy precious word by the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, remember those poor and needy beggars among us, longing for a visit of that living Savior. Oh, to hear he has risen, that he is a living Savior, that he is that Almighty One. But oh, then to have a visit, to hear him speak, to have that comfort of his voice, of the voice of the Beloved. O Lord, wilt thou then come among us in this morning and speak by thy word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be that comfort. Lord, we beg thee, visit us in thy mercy. Lord, if thou wilt deal with us according to all our sins and iniquities and transgressions, oh, then we would have been cast away already in paradise. But thou hast, in thy infinite mercy and in thy long-suffering patience and grace, thou hast an eternal plan of salvation for complete, unworthy, wretched people. Oh, may we see it all flows from thee, and that we may be in the dust, bowing before thee, confessing who we are, and yet looking to thee. Oh, may there be hearts that are stirred up to truly worship thee. Oh, may we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Lord, come then, give life, and give that life that thou hast planted, that it may be lively, that faith thou hast given may be given to look away and look up unto thee, from whom cometh all our help for body, but especially for our never-dying souls. Lord, we beg and ask thee that thou would come among us in this morning. Oh, may we plead upon thy own promise that thou hast given. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, there's no reason us. We're sinful. We cannot present anything unto thee when we plead for thy presence. We can only confess our sin, our wretchedness, our wickedness, by nature only enmity and hatred, no need, and after grace. Oh, we're so polluted, so wretched, so inclined to all sin and evil. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then have mercy and come among us for thy own name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our comfort. Lord, we beg thee, then remember those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses. Oh, they may hear of that way of salvation in a living Savior. But wilt thou work that need, renew them, regenerate them, show them who they are, that their sin, and that thou art the holy God who can by no means clear the guilty, and that they must die because of sin and stand before thee. O Lord, we know it, but may it come with truth into the heart, that there comes urgency, that there comes a need for a mediator. O Lord, we beg thee, have mercy. Pass us not by, but may it be on this day when we remember the resurrection of the dear Savior, that there may be sinners who are resurrected from spiritual death to spiritual life. Lord, it's thy work. Look upon us and do it for thy name's sake and for the eternal welfare of sinners. And remember all thy dear people, all the little lambs, all the sheep. Thou knowest how it is in their heart, and thy word is profitable for all things. Thou knowest what they need also, whether they need to be corrected, admonished, instructed further, but also thou knowest that poor people that cry, Lord, remember me, visit me, speak, Lord, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, wilt thou come then? Thou art the only one who can comfort, sorrowful, weeping sinners who have no comfort in this world, but it's only in thee, who are waiting for thee, looking to thee, longing for thee. Lord, come then. Do it for thy name's sake, and do it for that comfort of thy dear flock. Lord, bless thy word today throughout the entire world. May thy kingdom come. May many be born again. May sinners be brought to true repentance, that the angels in heaven may rejoice over sinners who have hearts broken because of their sinfulness, who cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, we beg thee then, help all thy servants, sons of men. Oh, may there be no expectation in men, but may our hope and our expectation be in thee, and that we may cry unto thee, Lord, pour forth, open thy word. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to listen. Bless thy word. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances. Lord, cast out Satan, who would like to hinder in the preaching, in the listening. Lord, cast him out, that thy word may be proclaimed fully and freely, and to the meaning of the Spirit, and that sinners may have their ears open to hear, their minds enlightened, but hearts renewed, and that they may hear and receive, and that there may bring forth fruit by thy grace, by thy Spirit, of true repentance and true saving faith. Lord, so we lay the whole congregation before thee. Thou knowest each one individually. Thou knowest the needs, the questions, the cares, the struggles, the afflictions, the needs in the soul, but also in the body. Lord, may we beg and ask thee to comfort all the mourning ones, the widows, the widowers, those who have lost children, other relatives, friends, Lord, we beg thee, thou art the God of all comfort. Man is a miserable comfort. And may we beg thee that thou would comfort them and sanctify these callings, that we may seek that only comfort in life and in death. And that is that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we belong unto thee, a triune, faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all the sick and afflicted. Maybe there's some among us who have never shared and yet sick and concerns with the body or the mind. Remember each one. We beg and pray thee especially for Mr. Jeff Feldesgraf, who is receiving treatments. Care for him, for his body. Give him grace to follow thee in this way that thou hast laid upon him. But we beg thee above all, remember him for his soul. Bless this affliction to him, to his family, but to all of us. Lord, thou art speaking to us through thy word, but also through all thy acts of providence, that we must be prepared to meet thee. Lord, prepare us by thy grace, that the grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto us and to our children. Lord, we beg thee that thy word may go out throughout the world among Jew and Gentile. We beg thee also that thou would richly bless thy word also in Bolivia, as thou hast given us that privilege and responsibility to proclaim thy precious word among them. Bless it to the conversion of many Bolivians, and that they may come to know that precious name, that only name of him who came into this world to seek and to save sinners, of him who came to pay that price, to give that righteousness, to have that robe to cover unrighteous sinners, and that blood to wash and cleanse. Lord, teach them, but also us. We all need the same thing. And we beg thee, Lord, that thou would help then the church workers and their families, the elders, the deacons, thy servants there. Remember Pastor Marco. Lord, instruct them and lead them and guide them by thy word and spirit. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would remember then also us as a denomination. Oh, we beg thee, richly bless thy word, and we pray that thou would also provide in the coming months more students thrust out by thee, called by thee, and that thou would open doors and gladden us with the deeds of thy own hands. O Lord, we beg thee that in the future they may be more ambassadors proclaiming thy precious word, more sent out to preach law and gospel, death and Adam, and life in Christ. Lord, there's no reason in us. We're a sinful and polluted denomination. But oh, we beg thee, Lord, so many congregations are without an under-shepherd. Lord, wilt thou provide for the coming generation, and that thy word may yet be proclaimed. Lord, remember the students also, as soon they will receive exams in the theological school. Help them, and may it be a testimony that it's in thy favor, and that thou would help, and wilt thou open the door also for the one student, that he may be able to go out and speak an edifying word. Help them, Lord. Help the instructors, and remember the curatorium, when there may be the Lord willing men to come, and they need to listen. Lord, guide them by thy spirit, and that if it is in thy favor, they can say nothing but yes. And if it is not in thy favor, they can say nothing but no. Lord, look upon us in mercy. And we beg thee then in this morning, come, Lord, come among us. Help to preach. Help to listen. Without thee, we can do nothing. May we look to thee as beggars, unworthy, sinful, and yet may it be with a looking, with a hoping, with an expectation because of who thou art. that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. Lord, help, may it be simple. May the children listen. Teenagers, may they hear and be blessed. We ask, Lord, we're worthy of nothing. We send everything away. But oh, may we plead upon him, that risen, that exalted Savior, in whom thou art well pleased, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 416, 1 through 5. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. Yea, thirst for thee I cry, God of life, O when shall I come again to stand before thee in thy temple and adore thee? Psalter 416, the first five stanzas, and the collections for today is first for the church and the second for the Bethany Care Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, on this morning when we remember the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would like to draw your attention to the precious word of God, which we read in John 20, the context about Mary, but we will only read at this time verse 16. John 20, verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So far from God's word. The theme this morning, the comfort of a living Savior. The comfort of a living Savior. Three thoughts. First, Mary, sorrowful without her Savior. We see this in verse 11. Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. She's missing her Savior. Do you understand that? Is that your heart? Is that your soul? Mary, sorrowful without her Savior. Second, Mary, comforted by her Savior. That's what we read in verse 16. The Lord comes. He speaks. He comforts. That's what that people long for him to come, for him to speak, for him to visit. That's comfort. So Mary, comforted by her Savior. And then her third thought, Mary, instructed by her Savior. And we see this, for example, in verse 17. So, the comfort of a living Savior. Mary, sorrowful without her Savior. Mary, comforted by her Savior. And Mary, instructed by her Savior. May the Lord richly bless his word and help in preaching and in listening for the glory of his name, for the conversion of sinners, and for the edification and comfort of his dear people. So Mary, sorrowful without her Savior. Children, what day is it? What day do we read in the first verse of John 20? It's the first day of the week. What time is it on this day? It's very early. It's about to dawn. The sun is rising. But you don't see the sun yet, you begin to see some early light. So it's very early in the morning. And now we read John 20, where are we? What's the context of this chapter? It's at the sepulchre. At what sepulchre? Where the Lord Jesus Christ was laid, where his body was buried. Jesus Christ was crucified, dead, and buried. What day is it? It's the third day. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say about the third day? What do we read in Luke 18, verse 33? And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Will the Lord Jesus arise? Is God the Father satisfied with that payment that Jesus Christ made on Good Friday and said it is finished and commended his spirit and placed it all before his Father? Is the Father satisfied? Did he rise? What happened on Easter morning? What do we read in Matthew 28, verse 2? And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Who sent him? Who sent this angel? God the Father sent the angel. He sent that angel to roll away the stone. That door needs to be opened. I'm satisfied with my son. He cannot be kept in the grave any longer. Acts 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. So resurrection, Easter, is a very precious comfort. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the public proclamation that all the demands of God's righteousness are fulfilled in his Son. The resurrection is the voice of God the Father speaking that the precious Savior, His dear Son, has paid for all the debts of all His church, of all Jews and Gentiles that He has chosen. He's paid for it all in full and complete. Paul wrote something so beautiful about resurrection. Open your Bible to Romans 4, verse 25. Paul saw what the Lord Jesus Christ did by His death and by His resurrection. The Spirit taught him. Romans 4, verse 25. And he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. If the Lord Jesus Christ remained behind that closed tomb, behind that stone in the grave, we must say there's no hope, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians. No hope. Preaching's in vain. There's no forgiveness of sin. No salvation. No hope. No future. It's all hopeless. But He did pay. Why? Because God the Father is satisfied. He sent His angel to roll away that stone. On Good Friday, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." And on resurrection, God the Father says, "Satisfied." Amen. It's enough. Accepted. Satisfied. The joyful message of Easter is what? That through that payment of Jesus Christ, that He might bring us, Peter wrote, to whom? To what? Just to heaven? No, to bring us to God. To God who He left and forsook in paradise and never ever would have returned. Never had anything to pay, nothing to satisfy. But through that Savior who paid and rose again, there's hope, there's life. Because He ever lives. And He's that fountain of overflowing grace for absolute, wretched, unworthy sinners. He's the living Savior. He's a living Savior. A powerful Savior. And now we come back to John 20. Who's at the sepulcher? And we'll just stick to this context of this chapter. Mary Magdalene. Who's Mary Magdalene? Mary Magdalene was of the city of Magdala, on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, a little town, a city there. Who was she? She was possessed with seven devils. Possessed, what a poor woman. And because of that, she sinned so greatly, so much. But one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, that precious Savior, He delivered her, as Luke wrote. In Luke 8, verse 2, Mary called Magdalena, out of whom was cast seven devils. And that great deliverance by that precious Savior, Mary knew it was Him, caused her to be so fond of Him, to love that deliverer who cared for her by her grace, such an unworthy woman. We see in her life of her absolute misery. And how the Lord Jesus Christ so delivered her. And then we see by her life. It was a life of gratitude. She followed the Lord Jesus. We read she ministered to Him. She cared for Him. She lived a life very close, attached to the precious Savior. She witnessed His crucifixion. She witnessed His death. She had seen that happened to her Savior, that He was beaten, afflicted, put to death, and that He was buried. Buried in that sepulcher. He was dead. For Mary, her Savior, was dead. And we'll explain more to get to the very heart of how low faith can come, even in the heart of true believers. Who can understand the grief of Mary sitting at that sepulcher, weeping? What was in her heart came out of her eyes, tears pouring down her face, questions, troubled, so disturbed. Her Savior was dead. But why was Mary at the sepulcher? Why did she go there so early? Her heart was grieving. Her heart was so sorrowful. She couldn't live without him, but she came there to do what? One more act of love for her dear Savior. For him who loved her and cared for her and delivered her from such wretchedness. On Friday night, she, with other women, had prepared special spices. And she was going to come to anoint the precious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. She came because she deeply loved him. It was all her love. Congregation, children, did Mary need to anoint the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ with spices? Did she? No, she didn't. But in her heart was love. Sure, she didn't need to, and yet she had to. Why? Because it was her love, and yet it was so absolutely unnecessary. Because he was living. Because he arose. He was alive. But what did she do? She, her coming early in that morning, coming to that sepulcher, and she sees from a distance, and the commentators say some came, she said she came all the way to the tomb, others say she saw it from a distance, the stone was rolled away. But let's leave that. She saw one thing, the stone was rolled away. And what did she do? Did she run and go to the disciples and say, the tomb is open, he is risen. He has risen as he said. He said he would rise. What did she say? What do we read in verse 2? Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. She concluded by what she saw, someone had taken the body of her dear Savior. She saw. She went by what she saw. She didn't go by what she had heard. What she had heard of the mouth of her own precious Savior that he had taught and instructed. And I'm most certain she also heard it. And the third day he shall rise again. And she told the disciples. She went. She ran. They've taken his body away. And what did disciples do? Well, then we see in the chapter, verse 3 through 10, that Peter and John, they went. They went to the sepulchre and they saw it empty. They saw the linen, clothes laying there, the napkin. And then we read that John believed in verse 8. Some say they believed that she'd taken the body away. Some say no, it was more that John believed truly that he had risen. And yet we read in the next verse that they still didn't understand the scripture. But what about Mary? Let's go back to Mary. What did she do? They went home. John and Peter, they went home. But what about Mary? Could she just go home? Could she just go in her bed and go to sleep? She couldn't. She couldn't at all. Mary Magdalene returns to the sepulchre as we read in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Mary Magdalene, her love draws her back to that sepulchre. Why was she there? Her love. Why was she weeping? Her love. Why could she just not go return to home? Why did she have to come to that place where the last place she saw her dear Savior who had died? It's her love. Mary loved the Lord Jesus Christ so deeply. She couldn't live. She couldn't live without him. Do you understand that? Or can you just live life knowing you need to die, you need to appear before a holy God, and you can just live without a Savior? Here we see the heart of a dear child of God. She could not live without the Savior. She deeply sorrowed for him because he was her comfort. He was her life. He was her everything. Lamentations. We read something that explains her heart. Lamentations 1 verse 16. For these things I weep. Mine eye runneth down with water. Because the comforter that should relieve my soul is far from me. Is that your heart on Easter? He's living. But he's so far. He's so far. I don't feel his nearness. I don't feel his comfort. Is that you on Easter morning? That's Mary. That's Mary. And as she weeps, she looks into the sepulcher and she sees two angels, one sitting at his head, one sitting at his feet. And Richard Sibbes, a Puritan, said something so beautiful about this. He said, on that altar, there was two cherubims, one on the one end, on the other end, facing each other, and there was the mercy seat. And the Lord said, there will I meet thee. And now in the tomb, with the payment of the precious Savior, by that blood payment, we see two angels sitting there by him who made that payment, of him who is the mercy seat and who made that payment. And through him, peace through Easter. And through him, God the Father can meet and commune with sinners. And so we see Mary outside the sepulchre weeping. And then the angels ask her a question, as we read in verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Mary is sorrowful. Mary wept because her Savior died, because his body is gone. He did not only die, but now she can't even find her body, and she wants to do one more act of love for him. Question, should Mary have been weeping? Should she? No, she should have been rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was alive. He was living. Mary had evidence. She had evidence that Jesus Christ was alive, but she didn't understand. She saw some things and she had the wrong interpretation. Mary interprets that the empty tomb, that the stone was rolled away, that it was a loss, not hope. She didn't see that it was the fulfillment of what her Savior had proclaimed. And therefore, verse 2, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Mary saw the stone moved from the door of the sepulchre. And then there's two options. And that's in the hearts and the life of all of God's people and in all people. Two options in seeing things, hearing things. Because she saw the stone rolled away, but she had also heard what the Lord had said. And Mary then didn't live by the truth. She went by speculation. She went by reasoning. She went by her mind. She went by her feelings. Instead of going upon the truth of what her Savior had told her. And that is why the cause of her sorrow, of her deep weeping, seeing the stone removed, and she speculates that the body is gone, or she came and saw the body gone, but she believes the body is gone. Instead of listening and building upon one thing, what God has said, what a lesson. Let's pause here for a moment. What a lesson to not live by feelings, to not live by circumstances only. No, but to live upon what? To live upon the word of God, to live upon him, who he is, what he says, who he is. Our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful. We can deceive ourselves by our feelings. We can deceive ourselves by speculation, by understanding, making wrong conclusions with all kinds of things. But God's word is the foundation. The word of Jesus Christ is the foundation of hope, of comfort, of life, but also of joy. Mary, he's not dead, he's alive. But what a lesson for us. To wait, to hope upon what? Feelings? No. But to live like we read in Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Mary is weeping, deeply sorrowful without the presence of the Lord. Do you understand? Mary's wrong. But do you understand? God's people also understand. And what we read in the following text is this expressing your heart. Psalm 119, verse 82, "Mine eyes fail for thy word," saying, "When wilt thou comfort me?" Mary, sorrowful without her Savior, she longs to be comforted. Is that you? Or what we read in Psalm 106, verse 4, "Remember me, O Lord, with the favor thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation." The angels speak to Mary. They know she has no reason to weep. No reason to weep at all, because the Lord Jesus Christ, his body hasn't been taken away. No, he is risen. He's alive and he lives forevermore. But they ask her, "Why? Why weepest thou?" Possibly with a very gentle tone. "Woman, why weepest thou? Why are you weeping? Today's not a day to weep. Today's a day of joy. Woman, why weepest thou?" But we hear not them giving any words of comfort, because they know. They know there's only one that can really comfort such deep, sorrowful, missing sinners. Sinners brokenhearted, hearted with the love of the Savior, and miss him. For Mary, what did it come to? How low can that life come? How low? And all comes to death. Mary, you're a sheep. Mary, he delivered you. Mary, that Savior who delivered you. Shouldn't you just have faith? Mary, can't you just pray? But he's dead. Why would I pray to one who's dead? Is that how far it's come down in your life? Dead? Mary, believe, but he's dead. How can I believe in him? Mary, he hears the needy when they cry, but he's dead. Is that your heart? Is that your feeling? Is that your life on Easter? It all just comes to death. All to death. Or maybe you've never tasted anything and it just feels all death. Oh, what sorrow. Nothing but death in the heart. In the past, she rejoiced. Oh, I'm sure she sang for joy when she was delivered by that precious Savior. She followed him. She saw his compassion, how he fed, cared, healed for so many. In the past, she had so much joy. Joy. And oh, she heard his words. And I'm sure for her also, is it for you, that his words were as sweet as honey on your soul. Sweetness. But now, death. Death on the day that the Lord Jesus rose. Have you been delivered? Do you know that? Have you saw something of the beauty of Bethlehem? Have you saw something of that precious holy Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? But now? Now it's all death? Have you seen something that he has paid? And that you had a little hope in that blood, but now it's all death? Had hope, but now death? Heard in his preaching his voice. It brought comfort. It brought sweetness. Sweet as honey to your soul. But now it's all just death in the soul. Is there one who understands this deep, sorrowful woman? Is there one who understands your heart, my heart, those who deeply sorrowful because they miss the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there one? Yes. Is there one that can comfort such ones? Is there one? Remember Jacob? Joseph was dead and his dear family tried to cover him. He could not be comforted. But there is a people who begin to long for him, who miss him, who wait for him, hope in him, but they miss him. Who? Who can comfort them? And so we come to the second thought. Mary comforted by her Savior. We read in Lamentations 1 verse 2, "She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers. She hath none to comfort her." This is Mary. Is that you? Do you understand a little something of Mary on Easter morning? Who can comfort? Is there one? We had those questions. Yes, there is one. Whom? Open your Bible to Isaiah 66 verse 13. There we read of one who can comfort. And how he comforts. And he promises he will comfort. Isaiah 66 verse 13. Isaiah 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted. Who is this? This is the Good Shepherd, the precious Savior. He knows them individually. He knows their name. He knows their hearts. He knows their sorrows. He seeks them. He visits them. He speaks to them. They hear his voice. They see him. He's revealed, and they're comforted. Sorrowful, seeking, missing, longing, weeping, wretched sinners on resurrection day. He sees you. He knows you. He knows your heart. He knows all your troubles. He knows all your cares. And he is that one who can comfort, and it is his delight. And so we see this fulfilled, what we read in Isaiah 66, in this history of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, on Easter morning. He's going to come. He come. And he's going to visit Mary. He's going to visit the sorrowful, weeping woman. We read in verse 14, and when she had said thus, she turned herself back. That's after the question of the angel. She turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So the Lord was there. She was standing. He was standing there. But she did not recognize him. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ can be so close to such sorrowful, weeping people. And they don't feel his presence. They don't see him. He could be so close and so near, and yet they miss him so deeply. So close and yet missing. And he will visit them. He will care for them at his time. Why? Because it's his work of grace. It's his work of grace of that sorrowful, missing, longing people. We read in Psalm 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh. Unto whom? Unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. But we read, she turned back, and she saw Jesus stand there, and knew not that it was Jesus. Why did Mary turn? You picture this. The angels asked her a question, she answered, and then she turns back, away from that sepulcher, away from that open door, and she sees a man standing. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Some say, some commentators, because of the expression on those holy angels' faces when they saw the Lord Jesus. And that caused her to turn. We don't know. Maybe. The Bible is quiet. But why did she not recognize him? Was she not, he not her Savior? Why did she not recognize her? Well, some thoughts. The last time she saw him, he was so beaten, so afflicted, that he was unrecognizable. Possibly because of that. Second, because he was risen in his glorious body, so different than when he was living before. But what else? Tears filled her eyes, so she couldn't have a proper vision. But what else? The last thing Mary expected in her heart was that he was living and that he would come to visit her. It was all death. So the last thing she expected on Easter morning, that he was standing there. She was looking for a dead body. And there he was. And yet he comes. He comes to visit her. Does the Lord reprimand her? Does he reprimand her? Mary, you're weeping so deeply. You shouldn't be weeping. You should be rejoicing. Mary, don't be so unbelieving. Mary, does he? Does he? Oh, he's that faithful Savior. He will not break those bruised reeds. And he will not quench those smoking flax. No, he will visit. He will blow. He will comfort. So that all that's just left of smoke and embers will burn into a bright flame. Also on resurrection. He asked her a question. He asked her a question. The Lord Jesus now speaks to Mary. John 20, verse 15. Two questions. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? Children, does the Lord Jesus not know? Does he not know why she's weeping? He knows everything, right? Does he not know that she's seeking him? He knows, but he wants to hear it.
He wants to hear it. He delights that they pour out their heart to him with all their needs, all their sorrows, all their unbelief, all their questions, all their struggles. He wants to hear it. He delights to hear what's in their heart. What instruction to pour out your heart and all you're missing. He knows everything, but he delights to hear it. It's like Mary. Mary, tell me everything. Tell me what's on your heart. Tell me what bothers you. Tell me why you're weeping. I want to hear it. You see him, that compassionate, kind, caring, good shepherd for his wretched sheep who can only weep? Mary, just pour it all out. Pour it all out to me. How does Mary respond? Well, she thinks he's the gardener. She thinks the gardener. And so she responds as we read in verse 15. She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Mary, is this possible? A woman? You're going to carry a dead body? You're going to bring it somewhere? You're going to take care of it? Mary, is this even possible? But her love is so deep. So deep. That love burns in her heart for that precious Savior she misses. That she doesn't even think about the impossibilities. Her love is so strong, she wants to just care for it. But now I have a question. We heard those two questions. Why weepest thou? Do you weep? I'm sure we all weep at times. But why? Why do you weep? Is it a weeping of Mary? A godly sorrow? A missing the Savior? Other weeping? But do you know this weeping? But the second question. Whom seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? What do you seek today? What do you seek on Easter? Are you seeking just joy and happiness in this world? Here's the heart of a sheep, weeping because of missing and seeking because of missing affections of the heart, of the life of grace, by the work of the Spirit. Here you see it on Easter. She's like the bride in the Song of Solomon. She's a picture of the bride of Christ. Song of Solomon 3 verse 2. I will rise now and go about the city and the streets and in the broadways. Why? I will seek him whom my soul loveth. Did you hear it? Is that you? I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. That's Mary. That's Mary. Is this you on Easter morning? Hearing a risen Savior, maybe looking forward to Easter. You hear such a precious message on Good Friday, but it's so cold. He's so distant, so missing comfort in your soul. You can read texts, you can read meditations, but he's so far. Lord, come. Shine thy face upon me. Visit me. Comfort me. Who can comfort that Savior? And we will consider that. But let us first sing. Psalter 2. 21. All three stanzas. 221. 1, 2, and 3. Great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling shine thou from above. It might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 221. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
the comfort of a living Savior. We're in our second point. The Lord comforts Mary. Mary comforted by her Savior. He speaks. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Mary. She hears his voice. She hears the voice of her good shepherd. She hears the voice she knows. She hears the voice, as we read in the Song of Solomon, the voice of my beloved. She hears it. It is the voice of my beloved. Oh, how sweet Mary. Water on her soul. Comfort for her grieving, sorrow, broken heart. The shepherd speaks, and the sheep hear his voice, as he said in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They don't want to hear a voice of a stranger anymore. Sheep long to hear the voice of the good, precious Savior. No other voice can comfort. Oh, God's children, sweet to have communion with each other. That's precious. When you can share your sorrows, your struggles, your hopes, what the Lord has done, and point to him and speak to him. But we cannot help each other, cannot comfort. I cannot comfort you, congregation. I'm just a sinful man. I need the same comfort from the same Savior. But he is that living Savior, and he can comfort, comfort. And he speaks just one word. One word, and she hears it. Mary, what does she do? What does she do? She turns and she just looks at him. She just focuses upon him. She sees him. It's him. He's living. I've been looking for a dead Savior, but he's living. Mary. Mary. She's the first one to see the risen Savior. She's the first one to hear his sweet voice, the voice of the beloved. She hears his love. She hears his kindness. She hears his compassion. Mary. Mary. What a sweet word for her soul. All her sorrow and grief are gone in a moment. Oh, when he comes, when he visits, when he speaks through his word, in the time of deep sorrow, gone. In the time of deep questions, gone. All the clouds are gone. By him, by his voice, by his visit, by his speaking. All gone in a moment, applied by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she responds, Rabboni. You hear the sweetness? Rabboni. Rabboni. What does it mean? Rabbi means respectful teacher, master. But now Rabboni. It's intensified to the fullest. Deep, great respect, honor. My dear master, the master who delivered me, the master whom I love, he says, Mary. And she responds, Rabboni. We love him because he loves us first. Mary calls him Rabboni. You hear it? You hear the love of that good shepherd for his sheep, for his deep grieving sheep. He wants to comfort, and all he has to say is one word, Mary. And she responds, Rabboni, a union of love. What is Christianity, congregation? Is it education, learning details? Jesus is Savior, I'm a sinner, salvation, math, one, I'm saved. That's not Christianity. Is it a religion? Lots of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. What is Christianity? It's a relationship. It's a deep, profound, living relationship. An experiential relationship that God has made in eternity, and he seeks and saves, and he brings them into relationship. It's a relationship of deep affection, of his great, unspeakable love. And out of their hearts comes love for him. We love him because he loved us. Sheep
hear and know his voice. And they long for him to speak. Long to him to speak. And he speaks through his word and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he visits today and he still is that living Savior. He has the same means. He still speaks through his word and applies it by the Holy Spirit. And when you read the Bible, for example, sorrowful, grieving, lost. And you're reading the Bible, he speaks. For a small moment, I have forsaken thee. But with great mercies, I will gather thee, saith thy Redeemer. You hear it. It's his voice. And you sink away. For me? Oh, what mercies. Oh, what a precious Redeemer. For me? And your heart goes out to him. To love him. Pour it out unto him. Speak. And all that people, they hear his voice. And they want to hear it again. They want him to speak again. Again. Because it's so comforting. They long, speak unto my soul, and say, I am thy salvation. Lord, come, visit me, comfort me. And he will, because he is the one who works. He brings to that place of death and sorrow, and he comes to comfort. Mary had such a blessed Easter, and that's my prayer for you. Maybe you've come in all death, but I hope. That's my prayer for the glory of the Lord and for the comfort of your soul, that you would hear him speak and that he would speak through his word. Read his word. Listen, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth, and that you may hear his voice. He is the only God who can comfort. He's that precious Savior, the God of all comfort. And so we see a missing, sorrowful Mary and a comforted Mary by her Savior. And yet, she needs to be instructed. A few more words. We read in John 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. What happens in the hearts of those sinners when he comes and comforts them? What did that bride do in the Song of Solomon 3 verse 4? I was a little but that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him. Do you understand that? Missing, sorrowful. He comes and you want to hold him. That's them. They want to embrace him. Why? They don't want to let him go again. Never leave me, Lord. Stay, comfort, keep speaking, keep speaking. They long. And now the Lord says to Mary, touch me not. What did he say? What did he really say? Others, he allowed them to touch. Others, he even invited to touch. Well, when you really study this, what is he saying? Did he stop Mary? Don't touch me at all, Mary. No, you know what we see? We see Mary. Maybe she began to cling to him. What is he saying? Mary, stop clinging to me. Mary, you can't cling to me. Mary, you need to let me go. Mary, you can't keep me on this earth anymore. Mary, you can't keep me here. Mary needs to learn to live by faith. She needs to be instructed that she cannot live with the physical presence of her Savior anymore, but she needs to live by faith. It's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. But more, he says, he must ascend. He must ascend. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary, remember what I taught you? Mary, it's not an earthly kingdom. It's a heavenly kingdom. Mary, I need to enter into the holies of holies. I need to go back to my Father. I need to bring my payment. I need to be there with my merits. I need to be that interceding high priest to pray for my church, to govern them from heaven. Mary, I can't stay here. Mary, I need to go. Mary, stop clinging to me. Mary, let me go. Let me go back to my Father. Mary, I want to go home. My Father's waiting for me. Mary needs to live by faith. But what instruction, what comfort in that text, the very core of Easter. Go tell my brethren. Who? Those disciples. Those disciples were worthy of any of his love who had forsook him, fled. And Peter, who had denied him, go tell them. Go tell them. And what does he call them? Call them my brethren. Before he said friends. What a wonder. Would he ever call any sinner a friend? But now he says something much more deeper and much more comforting. Go tell my brethren. Brethren, what does that mean? Then we're in the same family. He's the Son of God. The Son. And those sinners, recipients of grace, they become sons of God. Oh, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Go tell my brethren. Go tell them. What do we see? Nothing. Nothing shall separate from his love. Not their sin. Not their forsaking him. Nothing. Because it's all in his love. Brethren, I ascend to whom? My Father and your Father. My God and your God. He's saying, disciples, dear sheep, I go to my Father, and he's your Father through me. I go to God, my God, and he's your God through me. This is the heart of resurrection, brought back to paradise. A coming, a future paradise. The Lord Jesus going home. Mary, stop clinging to me. I need to go home. I'm going to prepare a place for you so I can come back and take you home into that place where you can forever be with my Father and your Father. That you can forever be with my God and your God. That's Easter. Brought back to God. He shall bring us back to God through that finished, perfect, precious work of the Savior. Accepted in the Beloved. Mary obeys and she goes. She goes and tells them, my friend, how is it with your heart on Easter? Are you waiting for Amen? She'd go home. Do you understand Mary? Do you have deep longing, missing for a Savior? Or can you live without him? And oh, Church of God, you who are those lambs and the sheep, he is your Father through him. He is your God through him. Easter is a day of joy and praise to him. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Here we hear of the only comfort in life and in death, and that is to belong to him. That's a blessed people. A blessed people. By that blessed triune God. And so we'll end with Peter, what he ended in 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, a true hope, a full hope. By what? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that risen, living, almighty, powerful Savior, oh, wilt thou come among us, may it have been that thou hast been among us, to comfort, to visit, to speak, to weeping, sorrowful, missing people, and that they may be brought to the true joy that is in thee, in a triune God, also on Easter. Lord, remember all those who are living without thee. Oh, we beg thee that thou would awaken them and hear what they miss, that they are separated, lost, under wrath, and only deserving of eternal separation and eternal wrath. But oh, may they also hear of what there is available by that free and sovereign grace through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we acknowledge thee for this morning, for thy help, for thy precious word. Lord, come, visit, speak. Speak and give that comfort. May it be today. May it have been already. Lord, look upon us in mercy. Help the elders in teaching catechism. Bring us again here tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing in closing
from Psalter 427, and we will sing only stanza 6. Stanza 6. 427, stanza 6. This is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice our jubilation and what follows. 427, stanza 6. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.